We haven't done a podcast in a while, and so I wanted to share a little special episode before I maybe get back on the horse. And it's some questions that have come through from people listening to the podcast. First question comes from Sophia in Berlin, and she asks, were there any specific albums or songs from that era, I think she means the 90s, that had a significant impact on your musical journey? Well, Sophia, yes. Definitely Maybe by Oasis, Revolver by the Beatles, In Utero by Nirvana, Unplugged in New York by Nirvana as well, actually. What else? Can't think of anything else. I think those were some of the bigger ones. John Lennon, Plastic Ono Band. They all kind of had a influence on what I became in terms of a songwriter. So if you haven't heard any of those albums, go check them out. The next question comes from Jessica from Chicago. And Jessica asks, looking back, what do you miss most about the music scene during the 90s and early 2000s? What do you think has changed for the better? It was a different scene. I grew up in England as well, so the music scene was a little weirder to America, but people cared about music more. You'd go buy it. You'd buy CDs. Vinyl wasn't as big back then, late 90s, early 2000s, but people would buy music and listen to it, and they'd listen to an album front to back, and they'd enjoy it. There'd be a couple of songs they'd skip after a while, but they'd listen to everything. As to what's changed for the better, it's catch-22. I think the fact that music is more available these days, you can hear anyone's music now, whereas before you had to beg, steal, and borrow people to listen to your music. And by borrow, I mean like make them sit down and listen to this song. No, I'm just joking. But it was the fact that people can't, the accessibility is good because it just wasn't there before. And the cost. I remember like making CDs was thousands of dollars, and now it's hundreds. So I think those are some good things. But then again, people don't buy CDs now. That's probably why it's so cheap. But thank you for the question. Matthew from Austin, I'm assuming Texas, says, Craig, what was your approach to finding and selecting band members or collaborators during the 90s and early 2000s? I didn't really collaborate. I had an ego. Finding band members... Liam was always a band member, all the bands that I was in England. So he and I were always the core, and it was just people I knew. So it was my friends. Jim I knew from college. Liam I knew from college. And it was just getting people who we knew. There was one lineup where it was advertised on a, I can't remember where, like a local website page thing, I don't know, it was internet, and a couple of people joined the band that way, three, and then it was just a case of auditioning and seeing if it was a good fit, seeing if we had the similar taste in music. I rarely collaborated though. I would just write my own songs and pretty much say this is it and this is how it's done, and that's something that's changed a lot. Now I'm less like that, because I can do my solo stuff and that's how I want it, and if I'm in a band, then it's just a case of here's my idea, do what you will with it, you know? There's a couple of songs that I'm adamant about, like the structure or this is the song, but it's not as bad as it was. So yeah, a roundabout way. I hope that answered your question, Matthew from Austin. So I got a question from Olivia in Melbourne, and Olivia's asking, Craig, did you have any rituals or routines you followed before performances during your early years as a musician? Yeah, I got pissed. I drank a lot. That's it. That's really it. I would down a few pints and yeah, no other ritual. I got more these days. I like to walk around. I don't like to talk to people all that much before I go on. I can't stand still. I have to kind of just keep moving and then do the show. And once the show's over, then I talk to people. But back then, lots of beer.